Hey, everybody. I'm Chad Eckert, and this is the Fantasy Golf Pod. It is Wednesday morning this time. I am solo. I am doing all of this for fun out of the goodness of my heart. Please like and subscribe, rate and review. Do you subscribe? Because if you don't subscribe, you are voting to not have me do this anymore, because I am going to have 100 subscribers to continue doing this after the Masters. We've got a couple more weeks to achieve that goal. We've got about 80 subscribers, so we're not that far away. So if you haven't subscribed, like and subscribe. I'm excited for this week, actually. The Valspar. It is a paint company headquartered in Minnesota. It is a tournament that actually I've had some success at over the years. Been doing this podcast for 6 years. On the second time Paul Casey won, I used him in my one and done, and I had him as a bet. The next time, the next tournament, there was a guy named Sam Burns. He started the tournament 90-1, and I had $1 on him. That was the greatest thing ever, winning $90 off of $1 back in 2021. Last year, holy crap, I forgot to load this. Look what I did last year, guys. I had a mega profit of $1,250, actually, somehow. Because I had a bet on our guy, Taylor Moore, as well. So I'm successful at this tournament. You guys need to listen to my picks. But then I don't really know what to pick. So what I've done now is I've added a $100 house bet to our wheel. Have you guys been watching the last couple of weeks? We've been spinning the wheel at the end. And actually, now last week we didn't win any money off of the three entries we've been doing. We lost, I think I had $9 in and got $5 back. So I lost $4. So I think we're still up money on the three entry spin wheels. But I think that the wheel may know things more than I do. I am going to feed this wheel 10 names. And then out of the 10 names that I fed it, Sungjae, Cam Young, Nick Taylor, Keegan, Cole, Keith, Montgomery, Akshay Bhatia, Danny Berger, and Billy Horschel. Out of one of those, I'm going to put $100 on one of those names. And that will be considered the house bet for this week. We got a little bit of a weather factor, so I'm kind of like, I don't want to act like I know what's going to happen, or like act like I have a hunch on a bet. Like, I don't have a Wyndham Clark feeling like I did last week. So I got a feeling on these 10 guys. I got a couple more bets outside of these 10 that I actually, I'm more comfortable with. But I didn't want to put $100 on Tony Finau because I've already got like 20 on him. So no, I just added these names. All right. So how it works is I'm going to just spin it and I'm going to bet. But I can't bet live on my Edina Realty Wi-Fi, because it doesn't allow me to look at betting websites. All right. So here you go. Ready? $100. That was kind of a weak spin. Burger? Oh my God. Am I going to win 10 grand on burger? All right. There it is. 10 grand on burger. Should I do it again? Should I do two $100 bets? All right. We're doing $200 bets. Because that burger. Oh my gosh. And Taylor Montgomery. Monty. Oh, goodness. All right. So there you have it. Burger and Monty. We're going long shots. Let's do that. Oh, my gosh. All right. What am I going to do? Okay. So here's what you need to know about this tournament. It's the Valspar. It's Innisbrook Resort and Copperhead Course. It's in Palm Harbor in Florida. We're still in Florida. And then we're going to Texas after this. There's 155 human dice. It is a cut event. It is sneaky long, I'm told. It is a par 71. You need to have approach play. You need to play good on hard courses. So that's kind of how I was winning that $1,420 last year. Or not $1,250. Is because I did the narratives. And a lot of the narratives around this course have like, it's 8 under par wins. Or it's kind of like a major type feel. Like greens are smaller, harder to hit. So you got to scramble good. Off the tee is not necessarily rewarded. I don't know. So it's kind of like last week a little bit and that way. But Paul Casey winning it back to back, and then and he was Mr. Total Driver. So I feel like having your ball in the fairway as far out as possible, it will help you every single week, but especially this course. And then Sam Burns, he did get hot with the putter, and he loves this type of grass, Bermuda. But I don't know. I'm a little nervous that Sam Burns did more with the putter than he's able to do on a normal basis. So I'm not sure that like his back-to-back correlates as much as like the total driving, like, because he's Burns may have won it with a putter. I don't know. So it's a little scary. You got to avoid some bogeys here. I think that's really much that's correlates to success everywhere. Like Scottie Scheffler is the best at avoiding bogeys, so he wins. Like, and I do think that there's holes here that you can blow up on. You can find yourself into some trouble. So maybe it's like the don't crumble factor. You have to have a wind tolerance factor. Oh my gosh, it's going to be windy. So we'll get to the weather in a moment here, but you got to putt well from inside 10 feet. Have you heard this? Because you want to save yourself a par, or you want to get yourself an opportunity. If you have an opportunity for birdie, you got to convert, because this is few and far between, I'm told. What surprised me the most is that I read that Chesson Hadley is making 93% within 10 feet. I don't even know if that's right, but the PGA Tour site that I look at had that. Aaron Baddeley's putting well. This guy named Whitney, last name Whitney. And then Taylor Montgomery is a good putter. So I'm glad that the house bet is on Taylor Montgomery, because maybe you can just putt his ass around. Doug Gim, apparently putting really well and saving himself, having a great season. Happy-go-lucky Gim. We're going to get to him in a second, because he appears in both the optimals. Can you believe that? I've listened to a couple of things that have referred to scrambling as an important stat for this week to look at. So I'm not really sure how that means even. So I think you need to be good at making par despite not having a green in regulation, which you can do that in a variety of ways, like punching out to 180 from your shitty drive and then somehow lucking into a par. That's scrambling technically, versus the guy that's missing the green just off of it. Let's say he's still using his putter, but he's not on the green, and then he two putts to make par. Well, that's technically scrambling too. So, I mean, I don't know. I'm a little nervous that scrambling is important. Like I said, wind is going to be a factor. Our guy, Ryan Noonan, we're going to talk about him and who he told us to click in the weather factor portion of the pod in a minute. But you want to know who the optimals are. In the optimal for bet spurts, that is a Xander JT start, and you have Doug Gim with an Olesen, Hisasuni, and Mac Messiner. Bet spurts is drunk, but whatever. These optimals have been drunk, and people pay for them. I don't know. Optimal at Data Golf, you got Xander and Im and Gim. So you got Gim and both, like I mentioned. Data Golf wants you to click Glover, Shank, and Hodges. So Xander and Gim, we're, you know, finding the same names on both these websites, optimals, and it does kind of sometimes lead to answers, but ultimately, like, two or three out of six guys are just going to be good, and three out of the six guys are going to be shitty, and, like, so they're just doing what we do, and we're just guessing, and it's somehow an optimal. I don't know. Like I mentioned earlier last week, I've unsubscribed from Data Golf. I like it. It's not necessarily worth the money. And BetSports was like $5 for the whole year, so I don't really need to unsubscribe to that. Okay, I have discovered some free squares. However, I'm a little concerned about these free squares, because what I've noticed is free squares are turning into actual landmines. Unless, though, you're a top 20 player in the world, or you're considered like uber class of player, like when we saw Will Zalatoris still at $7,900 at the course he liked, we were like, well, what's up with that? And he wasn't even 20% owned. So we're like, okay, that's a free square. And that made sense. And he paid off. Just like last week with Brian Harman at $7,900, you kind of thought, well, he's playing good, fits the course, 79, what the hell? So that turned into a free square that paid off. Versus if you got the guys that are 73, 72, even, you know, someone tells you that a 6K guy is mispriced, that's probably not true, because DraftKings knows what they're doing. And it feels to me like the $7,100 and below free squares are normally landmines. Who do you want this week? You want Xander, Burns, and JT. Those are the free squares at the top. How could you go wrong with Xander? Mr. Make the Cut. He's made like 42 in a row. However, he's playing the Pro-Am today, or he's doing something, and Nagel Bagels was able to take a picture with him. So I don't know. Does that jinx him? Or does that help him? I'm not sure. Brian Harman is also a lock because he's in the 9K range, and how could he be bad? Bezadenhout, actually, surprisingly, is the one that everybody wants. He's in the 8K range. And then Doug Gim. Definitely, he will keep it going. I don't know. Actually, Doug has the good attitude. I like his attitude. He like shows up to the course and he's happy to be there versus some people are like annoyed or like doing the actual act of playing golf. They prefer to do anything else because this is like their job, quote unquote. But I feel like Doug Gim is happy to play golf. Okay, you want some landmines, aka the scary free squares? That is Sepp Straka. I don't know. Maybe people think like, oh, it's sneaky Sepp. He's better than his price, and he should find it someday here soon. So then he's sneaky, but he's also going to end up sneaking into like close to 20%. And then would you want that? I don't know. And then Lucas Glover getting chalk. Do you ever want to chalk Lucas Glover? Yikes. Shank, because he played well last year. He likes hard courses. He putts well. I could actually eat some Shank, but I'm a little nervous about that. And then I also wanted to like and use Joel Damon this week, but unfortunately he's reaching over 10%. I don't know. Joel Damon at 10, 11, 12%. I could just bet him and be good with it. I know it was Gino's birthday yesterday actually. And I tweeted that I would want to see that because it'd be fun to watch. And that story would be cool. But at 11%, yo. What about Matthew Neesmith? I've heard his name. He finished twice top 25 here or something, Pat Mayo said to Joe Idoni. I watched that pod. That was pretty good, actually. The best bet show with Joe Idoni was on with Pat Mayo. Yes, clowns. This is the more important thing because actually the clowns are paying off. The clowns are the ones you actually want to click. You need to include a clown into your six-man parlay. Last week's King Clown. So I'm declaring like the biggest clown each week. Last week it was Matt Fitzpatrick. How could he be good? He was so bad the week before. Nobody wants him. And he ended up finishing fifth. And we learned that he like had a weight in his driver, which makes him even more of a clown. It was perfect. And then we had clown top 20 the week before, Brian Harman. So I had clown Harman. He was like, nobody wanted him at Bay Hill because he could drive it long. And he was top 20. Paid off. Clowns this week include Jordan Spieth might be a clown. Minwoo Lee is now a clown. Bo Hostler is a clown. Patrick Rogers, Olesen, Billy Horschel, always a clown. Ryan Fox, technically a clown. Bhaktia. Eric Barnes, never heard of him, or I have, but I haven't, you know. No, I haven't heard of Evan Hermeling. He's apparently wanted, or not wanted, but could be a clown. Anyway, the King Clown this week, the one that you don't want to play, that I know you don't want to play, is Bo Hostler. Why would you want to play Bo Hostler? So he will be your King Clown. Let me present to you what is also the second most, maybe the first most important factor outside of ownership, weather. So who's going to get ruined by this weather? Look, it's kind of changed even since I tweeted about it. So on Thursday, the start of the tournament, it's nothing. Looks like fine tomorrow. Actually, a PM wave could be advantageous because then you do wake up on Friday. Hold on. Let's get the super forecast. So I'm using windfinder.com. I don't pay for this. I'm too poor to pay for weather reports. But you got Wednesday. That's today. We don't need a Wednesday report. We need tomorrow, 13 in the morning, or actually 7, 7, 7, 7, 7, 7, 7, 7, 7, 7, 7, 7, 7, 7, 7, 7, 7, 7, 7, 7, 7, 7, 7, 7, 7, 7, 7, 7, 7, 7, 7, 7, 7, 7, 7, 7, 7, 7, 7, 7, 7, 7, 7, 7, 7, 7, 7, 7, 7, 7, 7, 7, 7, 7, 7, 7, 7, 7, 7, 7, 7, 7, 7, 7, 7, 7, 7, 7, 7, 7, 7, 7, 7, 7, 7, 7, 7, 7, 7, 7, 7, 7, 7, 7, 7, 7, 7, 7, 7, 7, 7, 7, 7, 7, 7, 7, 7, 7, 7, 7, 7, 7, 7, 7, 7, 7, 7, 7, 7, 7, 7, 7, 7, 7, 7, 7, 7, 7, 7, 7, 7, 7, 7, 7, 7, 7, 7, 7, is going to come at some point. I believe they're going to get called off the course. There's probably going to be some lightning storms. 37 gusts, like, these pampered Fs are not going to be playing, I guarantee you. So they're going to push these people. So I think it's tough to say, but it looks like maybe the AM wave doesn't even get a chance to finish on Friday. Even though it looks like Friday afternoon's getting a little bit less scary. So maybe the AM PM, like you kind of go, maybe you get 10, 12 holes in on the PM. You finish your round on Saturday morning, which the super forecast only gives us 3 days out. So we have to go back to the normal forecast and see on Saturday morning. It looked a lot worse yesterday. So this is kind of funny that it's actually, well, the weather changes. It was supposed to snow in Minnesota, and now it's not even going to snow at all. That just happens all the time. So my suggestion for what you should do is you should probably not care for one. Eh, you could do that. Or you'd make three lineups. In one of the lineups, you stack AM, PM. In the next lineup, you stack PM, AM. And in the other lineup, you mix them all. That's how it works. Now, you may think like, oh, it's going to be windy AF. So should I factor that into my equation? And maybe you should. I don't know how you're going to find the stats out. I asked, who leads strokes gain windy AF? And Ryan Noonan, our guy at BetSperts, gave us this list of names. Now, I don't want Aaron Wise because I think he's like had surgery or he's had some sort of injury that's, I don't trust these stats. There's a reason he's 5,900 this week. Could he show up and become the Aaron Wise he once was? Maybe. But I'm not going to risk it with that. But Tony Finau leading the way here at $9,300 in the number one strokes gain total and wind over 18 miles an hour, whatever this is, 19 miles an hour. He played well at the 3M Open. We know it gets a little windy out at TPC Blaine. We've been there. And then he played well at the Mexico a couple weeks ago when it was windy. We know Sungjae's won at the Honda Classic before in a wind fest. So he's $9,400. He's third in total in wind. And same with Akshay Bhatia. Won a couple of Caribbean courses. Maybe those were the times where he was popping during 19 mile an hour winds. And then you got Keith Mitchell. I asked who was bad and who we should fade. And Noonan was like, yeah, Minwoo Lee doesn't have good stats in wind and neither does Maverick McNealy. So you could try to maybe fade that. Okay. We're 17 minutes in. Holy cow. All right. What else do I need to tell you? Ownership is vital into this world that we play. Cause like, do you think, should I do my strategy thing real quick? So I'm doing strategy every week and I want to talk to you about how you got to embrace risk. Ownership is very important to know because you want to know who is not owned, not necessarily who's owned. Cause like everybody's kind of owned in the better play, like 20% owned. Isn't that big a deal in the 10K range, but if it's 20% in the 7K range, we got some red flags. I tweeted a poll. I was wondering if people were going to be thinking that, you know, safe plays are rewarded. Safe plays save me. And that was not true. My poll was, do risky clicks reward more than safe clicks save? And everyone's like, safe clicks do not save you ever. Risky rewards you way more. So I think we need to embrace this risk. We need to go after the risky names. And what does that mean? We need to go after a name that nobody's even telling you to click because this is golf. People show up all the time out of nowhere and are good. Outside of contest selection, now again, you're playing cash or whatever, like ownership's not necessarily an important factor, or depending on if you're in like a 100-man contest, you probably eat some chalk there in 7K range, you get more comfortable with your clicks. But we know, even then, you're never rewarded with your safe click. You're always rewarded with risk and embracing the crazy. So who's the crazy? Because we don't care who is wanted. Let me show you this Data Golf projection. Now, I've already canceled my Data Golf subscription or whatever. I listen, pay $25, great. But I think I'm going to go pay $25 for like a specific like DraftKings paywalled thing. You know, like a business that straight up is all about DraftKings. Because Data Golf, they're like all about, you know, betting and other things and projecting top 10s and 15s and whatever else. And I think that they're not so focused on actual DraftKings ownership and giant GPPs. Like right now, their most owned names are Xander and Burns, which I guess it makes sense, and JT and Harmon. Now, they do kind of warn you that Doug Gim's getting ownership at 18.9%. If you want to click Doug Gim, you probably won't win. I'm sorry. Like you can't. You can't win with Doug Gim. I used to say you can definitely win with Doug Gim, just get different with your five other clicks. But it's like, I think you're wasting a roster spot by being conservative. I think you literally cannot win the short game with 30,000 entries if you're going Xander, Gim, Zadenhut. Like, fuck you. or Joel Damon. Now it's up until 11.8%. I already said that earlier. It made me concerned. And that's even grown since last night when I wrote that down. Maverick McNeely's being clicked. Shank's being clicked. Sepp Strzok is being clicked. Those are scary clicks. And then Glover, like I mentioned. Oof. Sam Ryder. Oh, no. I mean, last week I saw that video and I tweeted it out. I saw Sam Ryder being interviewed on the practice range at the Players saying, oh, I do love living around this area now. It's like a home game for me. And I didn't use him. He scored the most birdies he's ever had. Will he continue to do that? That is a good question. At 73? Is that a landmine price range? Be careful. I think it is. Victor Perez in the 6K range and Matthew Neesmith, Andrew Novak, Grayson Sig at $6,300. He's only 6%. So 6% Sig, 63. It's close. I really do think that there is no difference between the $6,300 Sig and anyone else in that range. So going after the one that's at 0%, it's fine. But I heard Tambo say on his show this week that nobody is clicking the 0% guy. That's why he's 0%. So he's really not actually helping anyone get any advantage in that contest. Whereas, like, if you click the SIG, you probably don't necessarily hurt yourself so badly because you need to pair it with two other guys that are going to ultimately vault you. So, like, having the 6% $6,300 SIG, like, going out of your way to go after, like, the stupid 0% play, like, I think you're fine eating a 5% SIG if you liked it. Does that make sense? Sorry. All right. So, pivoting is important. But in the 10K range, should we talk about DraftKings? The DraftKings pricing. I have a contest this week. It's $2 to enter and two people get paid. That's every week I do that. In the 10K range, you have Xander Schauffele. He's the TPG, the top-priced guy. He's $11,200. You have Sam Burns at $10,900. JT's also here at $10,400. And his buddy, Jordan Spieth, $10,200. There are flaws with all of these golfers. Are there? Maybe. I'm actually not sure there's any flaws with Xander. He's pretty consistent in all stat categories. He's never bad. He makes the cut. He's made like 40 cuts in a row. I'm a little worried about his heartbreak and having to get the energy back up for this Valspar after the Players last week. But again, I don't know. Would you be surprised if Xander showed up and all of a sudden he's doing the same exact thing that he's done all season? And he's like up there at top five, top 10 on Sunday. I don't know. I wouldn't be. Actually, so Sam Burns, the guy at 10-9, he saved some money there, a couple $100. I'm a little worried that he's Sam blow up Burns because he's had one round each tournament that he kind of screws his whole finishing position. And then he kind of has that millionaire attitude a little bit where like about 2 years ago, he would have grinded the hell out of every single event and pushed for every single shot. But then now you're seeing Sam Burns realize he's got six wins or whatever. He's got a ton of wins and he's got millions of dollars. So like, will he get out of contention at the Valspar and then decide, who cares? I think he may. So I'm a little concerned about that for him. Justin Thomas, probably the best play ultimately in this price range with the savings off of Xander. And I think you do like the fact that he got some rest. He's a little angsty kind of guy. If he misses the cut, he gets pissed and he will grind. This is how we've kind of known JT to be. I don't think he wants to miss the cut at the Players. He has had this string now where he's had a 12th miscut, 12th miscut. So then he's obviously going to finish 12th. So I'm liking that maybe at 10-4. But driver concerns, putter concerns, motivation concerns. Spieth's ultimately back here as the GPP play like he was last week, and then he was bad. So maybe we try it again this week. Because again, all these golfers ebb, flow. We've seen him ebb. When will Spieth start flowing? This is kind of the time last year where he started flowing. We know he likes to flow in late March to early April for a reason. Okay, 9K range. Okay, you got 9K names. You got Brian Harman, Birdie Brian at a par fest, $9,800 coming off of a probably even more of a disappointment than Xander. Just, gosh. About $9,800, and he's probably a good price. My favorite play, though, is Cam Young at $9,600. This is the tournament where we've had some first-time winners in the past. Hear this. 2011, Gary Woodland won his first event ever here. Streelman won his first in 2013 here. Hadwin at 2017 got his first win here. Sam Burns, like we said, we knew that. 2021 at 90-1 got his first win. You got Taylor Moore last year's first win. So maybe a first win kind of thing. We know with these small greens and how this goes, you don't necessarily need to be the ultimate greatest putter to win here. It does definitely help and vaulted Sam Burns a couple of years in a row, but you can get away with it. And Cam Young, if he's playing the same way off the tee and on the irons as ball striking, then maybe he'll find the putter and do it. Or you go to Sungjae, 94. Tony Finau, Mr. Wind, he's at 93. But I'm afraid he's going to get that Mr. Wind title, and then it's going to carry another 5% ownership that we don't want on him. And, I mean, I personally, like, if I'm already going Cam Young, can you go Cam Young, Tony Finau in your life? You're going to shoot your brains out by Sunday afternoon because you're just going to be like, oh, yeah, here we go. We're going, you know, we need a 5-footer for a birdie streak and need 3 putts, you know. So, just frustrating to click some bad putter sometimes. So, maybe you click good putters like Nick Taylor at $9,100. I like that, too. And I like the Nick Taylor President Cup narrative that people are talking about, how the Canadians are playing the President's Cup in Canada. So go factor that into your modeling. In the 8K range, Keith Mitchell is at the top of the 8K range, $8,900. Bezuidenhout's getting some love. Why is Bezuidenhout? I mean, he's had some good finishes and stuff like that. We like Bezuidenhout's story because he ate that rat poison when he was a kid and almost died, and he's just fun to root for. But I've tried. I've put the house on Bezuidenhout before. I've waited for his win. And then I wanted to do it here, but he's 45-1. I'm like, what? Okay. I don't like that as much. So I didn't do it. So I didn't bet it. And I don't think I'm going to click the chalk Bez. Maybe I'll go with Cole. You could see Cole coming through, couldn't you? Seems like a Cole course, potentially. Keegan. Like Keegan at 86. Aaron Rye, wow, 85 for Rye and 84 for Gim. Can you believe that? If I were to, you know, kidnap you, put you in a solitary confinement for 3 months, and right after Cole wins Rookie of the Year and Keegan gets snubbed for the Ryder Cup, I throw you guys at the Valspar and I go, hey, what's up? Here's the 8K range. You got Cole, Keegan, Aaron Rye, Doug Gim, Bo Hostler, Hadwin. You'd be like, excuse me? The guy that was supposed to be on the Ryder Cup that just won like 3 times in the last year and a half, maybe only 2. How many times has Keegan won? A couple times. So actually, Keegan, my favorite player in the AK range, I just talked myself into that. Or you go down to the Mav guy at $8,100. Maverick McNeely last week, he emerged. I think he is who he is. He's good. And he's not hurting anymore. So maybe you try that out. Maybe he's going to ride it. Or you go to the 7K range. Who do we like in the 7K range? I'm not going to do Sepp Straka if it includes chalk, so I don't want that. I'm going to do Taylor Moore, though. I'm going to go back to him because he is my guy. He helped me win $1,250 on DraftKings, and I also bet on him. Andy Putnam's here. But I'd like Olesen, okay? I don't know what it was last year. Like, I just thought, let's go with these cheeky Euros or whatever kind of thing. In this tournament alone. So we were on Jaeger last year and he did okay. And that kind of started his little run. And Olesen, he's been all over the place in pricing. And I think you could have seen Olesen at like 89 and just not batted an eye and he'd still get 10% owned. So I think at Olesen, if no one's wanting him, I like that as a GPP option. And then you got Taylor Montgomery. We're putting the house on Montgomery, I guess. Is that what we did? Berger and Montgomery. So maybe I got to go in on Berger and Montgomery or I fade them in DraftKings. Do you guys hedge yourselves in DraftKings? And in your bets, I don't know. Billy Horschel at $7,400. I like Horschel always. So I could talk myself into Horschel. But my favorite plays, though, are at the bottom of this range. I like Bhaktia at $7,100. Bhaktia has that 19-year-old motivation factor where he would rather be a YouTube star than win the Masters or some shit, he said, which blew my mind. I don't know if he's serious, though. Like, he kind of, you know, says stuff for content. But at the same time, Bhaktia at $7,100, would you be surprised if you saw him? Like, he and Mav last week, I had as in the, I said on the pod, like, Mav, back to you. Would you be surprised if one of these guys shows up in the top 15? And literally it was Mav. So I'm kind of having the same feeling here, and we're saving $1,000 getting back to you. And then you got Davis Thompson at 7,000, who is an actual good golfer named after Davis Love the Third. So, I mean, how could he be bad if he was named after Davis Love? No, my favorite play is might be Horschel, actually, because based on the ownership, and you got to be aware of the Bermuda grasses. And so I think I could talk myself into Horschel, especially if you're going to get Glover Love and Ryder Chalk. And yeah, I don't know. 6K range. There are people in this range that are in the swing five. A guy named Springer and Stanger. Jerry Springer? Jimmy Stanger. He's somebody. And I like him. So he's at $6,900. Who else did I say? Oh, yeah. Eric Barnes. Victor Perez. Where's Victor Perez? Was he at the top? Yeah, he's $6,900. I clicked him last year at this tournament. If I consult my guy, smartgolfbets.com, Mike Miller. Where was Victor Perez last year? So I use this website, smartgolfbets.com. He's at smartgolfinfo on Twitter. I'm really not sure. Maybe he was bad. Where's Perez? This is good content. I don't even see him. Jeez. Sorry. Where was I? I got a lot of tabs open. Okay, we talked about weather. We're talking about 6K range. Nobody really needs my names in the 6K range, do you? Bryce Carnett? He's in the swing five still. Joel Damon, oh God, he's $6,800. Like I was saying, okay, he's being more serious lately. So maybe you can go after Joel Damon because he wants to play well because he's broke. This is what happens. Check out the money list from like 2 or 3 years ago. See the dude make $8 million. Check the money list now. See, the dude's only made 1.2. Well, guess what? You make eight. You start spending eight. You make 1.2. You go, shoot, I need to make 6.8 more to get to where I was. So that happens. Although, if everyone is thinking that, I'm a little scared about that. Okay, underpriced in the 6K range, I tell you some names, and they're going, you got to scroll down a little bit. You got to get to Bud Cauley at $6,400. Like, why isn't he chalk? Why was he not $7,400? He's had some good finishes so far. He's got a newfound resurgence after having taken a long time off to get healthy. So I like Bud Cauley at $6,400. Grayson Sigg, like I mentioned, he's getting some love. But if you're into that, which I am, I think that's underpriced. You could eat a 6% SIG. $6,300 Carson Young keeps showing up, always shows up. Like, cup making Carson at 63. Do it. Chan Kim. I could see Chan Kim putting four rounds together and finishing top five. I could also see Chan Kim having like a 63 and then following it up with the 75. So I'm a little nervous, but he's $6,200. So that's decent. And I think people are going after Bryce Garnett, which is the same price. Try that out. Or Dylan Wu, $6,200. He's every other event. Finding it again. We kind of liked Wu because no one likes D Wu. They like B Wu. And when we were thinking about it, we're like, D and B are basically the same people. So why not just click $6,200 D Wu, who had his best approach week last week since last year's Pebble. So, I mean, he finished T19 last week and he's $6,200 this week. So I'm into that after a 24th at Mexico for Dylan Wu. And then Springer. So you got Hayden Springer at $6,100. How is he any different than Stanger? Jimmy Stanger. What was the guy's name? Hayden Springer. Got her up $6,000. That's interesting. Schmid was alive last week for a minute. Michael Kim. Ugh. Vincent Whaley. 5K range. I wrote a couple of things down. Parker Cootie's at the top of the 5K range. I'd bet on him. I put $5 on Parker Cootie to win because I don't know. $5 on a 200-to-1 Parker Cootie. What about Aaron Wise? What happened to him? I'll have to figure out why he's been out. I forgot. Nico's down here. Echeverria. I like him. $5,700. He makes a lot of birdies, maybe. Maybe that doesn't help you here. This Justin Lauer, though, lower. Lauer Power, Power Lauer at $5,700. There was something on Twitter, PGA Tour account tweeted about how Justin Lauer was talking about his dad or like some emotional thing that then I was like, oh, that's sweet. I am into that. Like, he's going to try this week. And then I didn't click him because I thought, why not just use stats? Strokes gained stats aren't telling me Lauer in that emotional video. That doesn't mean anything. And then Lauer was good. So I've been kind of following him ever since then because I think, I don't know, he's got a little chip on his shoulder trying to be motivated. And he does make cuts. He's 6-8 on this list right here. Or Charlie Hoffman or Champ. Look at that. Baddeley's putting well. Who else is down here? Zach Blair has been a guy. A minute. Harry Hall. I haven't consulted Josh Bennett's model yet, but sometimes there's a 5K name that pops in his model. Okay, stop sharing that. So at the end of each pod, we're building a dream together. Nothing's going to stop us. We're using the spin wheel. It's helping because nothing matters. Do you guys know nothing matters? So that's why we're trying the spin wheel out to make it seem like it's just to prove that nothing matters. It's kind of a dick thing to do because, yes, pay for those subscriptions, use those optimals, try really hard, do all the research, consult the ownership, look at the weather, do the stacking. And guess what? This damn random wheel is going to beat you because it doesn't know shit and it doesn't matter. 10K range. So I do three lineups and we go through each one of them. Here we go. So the first name in the 10K lineup number one, Xander. Who's Xander? Hold on, let me close some tabs here. I'm confused on where I am. 10K range, 9K range. Are you in the chat? Are you chatting along? I'm sorry, I didn't even look at any chats. $250 bets? Oh, hey, Sweet Spot ZFS is in the chat. I watched Sweet Spot's video. My gosh, he does a really good job going over the past GPP and optimal lineups from the past years at this tournament each week. And it's about 20 minutes into his Tuesday night pods. You should go check out Sweet Spot DFS. How much did I make last week hedging? Oh, good question. So I had Wyndham Clark for $4,200. And by Sunday, I had basically covered the entire board so that, like, no matter what, I was going to win a couple $100. So I think if Harmon won, I would break even. Xander won, I'd pretty much break even. But at one point, I got an extra another $100 on Scotty, so I ended up making like $300 total last week hedging. So hedging's a good idea. Excuse me while I close things. Where am I? Oh yeah, okay, 9K range. Sorry for my Xander. One started with Xander Shoffley, and it'll pair it with Taylor. I'm doing this on the other screen while I do this on this screen. The 8K range. So we like to try to do a 10 name. 7th and the 6th is kind of the goal building. Rye, great. Talk shit about Rye. And of course, the wheel's like, in your face. I am taking Aaron Rye. Okay, 7K. Name will be paired with Xander, Taylor, Rye. It'll be Monty. Montgomery. We're calling him Montgomery because it's intentionally mispronounced. I don't know. It came in my brain last year at some point. The 6K. So I broke it down. I tried to keep it so it's like 64 to 69 is like 24 names. I did the 59 to 63 is 28 names. I mean, because it's just like, how many goddamn names are there? So here we go. Okay, so at the top of 6K. 68, 50 left. It will be Novak. Novak leaving us 7,000. So I'll just stay in this little same little pocket. A couple of bucks on the table. That's a good idea. Oh gosh, Davis Riley. That's a name that that is your 0% owned. So I've got $600 left on the table. If I have Xander, Nick Taylor, Aaron Rye, Taylor Montgomery, Andrew Novak, and Davis Riley. Go back to the 10K range for our first click for the second lineup. It will begin with Sam Burns. Sam B will be paired with a 9K name. 9K name. Sam Burns. Danny Vino. 8K name. Dog him. So the names that I'm talking shit about, the wheel has not heard it. He says, what do you mean, chalk? I don't care. This lineup has Sam Burns, Tony Fino, Doug Gim, and Billy Horschel. Funny. Okay. Let's go back to the 6K range. Web. Oh my God. This is awesome because I love Web. $7,300. Let's go back to the low 7K range. We haven't had a problem yet where the wheel kind of does know it's going to pick the right price. We'll see. And our final pick. Oh God, Horschel. Horschel. What is Horschel? Wait a second. I already plugged Horschel. Whoops. It really wanted me to pick Horschel because I picked it twice on the same lineup. That's crazy. Thompson. Good. That's who I like. Perfect. So I've not had the wheel pick the same name twice. That is pretty cool out of 15 names. So maybe there's a sign there. Okay, so that lineup would be Sam Burns, Tony Fino, Doug Gim, Billy Horschel, Webb Simpson, Davis Thompson. So we have one more lineup to create, and we'll use the 10K range to start this lineup again. First lineup used Xander, second lineup used Burns, third lineup uses Burns. Okay. And Burns for this guy's 9K lineup name. Bertie Bryan. $9,800 Bertie Bryan Harmon. 8K name. The final lineup is Burns, Harmon, and Keith Mitchell. The 7K guy with these three guys is Shank. Okay. 6650 remaining. So let's, should we go to the low 6K range? No. I'm keeping with the system because 64 and below, it's like, holy fuck, who are you? Okay. Novak. Novak making an appearance because he's Mr. Top. I guess he missed the cut last week, so he needed that rest. Okay, we have $6,600 left. Is it going to know to pick $6,600 or less name? I don't know. What's Hodges? Hodges. 66! It knew. It spent all the money. Oh, this little wheel. Smart. Okay, so that last lineup that I just made. Oh, wait. That's not it. I'm good at doing this. The last lineup I just made was Burns, Harmon, Mitchell, Shank, Novak, Hodges. Crazy. Otherwise, you have the opportunity. No, that's the same one. You don't even need me to do this. This one is Xander, Nick Taylor, Aaron Rye, Taylor Montgomery, Novak, Riley. The idea behind this is that when one of these mega profits and we all have to like, and we're like, what the hell? I'm going to splice this together and I'm going to put it on the internet and go, you and your optimals. Burns, Finau, Gim, Horschel, Webb, Davis, Thompson. Okay. All right. So I'm putting $100 on Daniel Berger and Taylor Montgomery. Now, actually, if you do that and then they get into contention, you can do what I did on Scotty Scheffler and on Xander last week, is you can start taking profits from that $10,000 and go, let's put it over here. Let's put it over there. Let's put it in here. And now in hindsight, I really wish I would have done a lot more on like Saturday night on Scottie Scheffler, because he was like 10 to 1. But anyway, so what I meant by so if those two idiots get into contention somehow, maybe that'll turn out to be a really good bet because I'll actually be able to profit. So the idea is for me to get out of that week. If I don't think Wyndham's going to come through, ultimately the house bet isn't going to cash, then I need to get out. I need to get back most of my funds and get out. Now, I've done this for about 15 years. Like live betting, I remember it coming out. Like it was like brand new. And I was like, I'm in. And I was betting Kirk in the 2013 tournaments and stuff. Either way. So you can get into some trouble doing this. Now, this is very concerning for me to even tell you to do this because you A, can get addicted, and B, lose all your money like easily. And I've done this. I thought Harris English was a shoe and he was like three holes to go or four holes to go. I put like $1,500 on him one time and he fucking lost the tournament. And then I was at zero. So keep in mind that that could happen. Okay. I am trying to go, it's basketball season. I realize this. So in these next two tournaments, this tournament, and then the two Houston Open, Valero, whatever it is, they are bad tournaments ultimately, or not the heart of the season, not signature events. And we're leading into the Masters. So I'm going to try to go solo or do less over the next few weeks. Like and subscribe though. I need your subscription, because if I don't get 100 subscriptions, the last podcast for the Fantasy Golf Pod will be on the Masters. It's really easy to click like and subscribe. All right. Where's this file? Thanks, guys. Bye.